The second the hiring manager hears about this amazing candidate, they start thinking, where can we place them? This is something that I think a lot of candidates don't realize, is that when you are that star candidate, when you present yourself as that star candidate, employers think of a role for you, even if they don't have it. Welcome to the Career Diet Podcast, hosted by me, Anna Baleva, a world-recognized career coach and LinkedIn Learning instructor who's helped thousands of professionals discover and land their dream career. This podcast is for ambitious professionals like you, looking to create a career that supports your personal goals, growth, and lifestyle, not the one that requires you to sacrifice them. My mission is to help you see the power you hold in your career and help you become the star candidate every employer is searching for. Think of this podcast as a personal career strategist in your pocket, and leave it up to me to provide you with the tools, tips, and resources you need to make job search fun and turn your dream career into your reality. Thank you for tuning in today. Can't wait to see how your career and life shift. Hello, and welcome back to the Career Diet Podcast. In today's episode, I want to share some mind-blowing facts about the hiring process that I personally learned after I got into the recruitment industry myself. Now, when I was planning this episode, initially I thought we'd cover 4 or 5 major things that I learned. But as I was diving into everything that I've learned and looking back at my experience, I realized, wow, we have over a dozen key pieces to go over here. Now, some of them I have shared on my social media before in some other podcasts, and I have noticed that oftentimes when I share them, job seekers get angry. And that is because a lot of job seekers don't really know what's going on behind the scenes. And that's why I am here to share the truth with you. So this is going to be a 2-part episode because, again, I realized I have so much to share here. And in today's episode, I'll cover the first 6 facts about the recruitment process that I learned working in industry. So let's dive into it. Now, before we do, if you are job searching right now, you are probably going to enjoy my free masterclass all about how to discover what your dream next step is, what that dream opportunity is for you, and how to land it in the fastest, easiest way possible. Simply head to thecareerdiet.com/dreamjob or use the link in the show notes. This masterclass is full of tangible tools and actionable advice, so make sure to check it out. All right, let's start with the episode. Hiring fact number 1. Companies partner with recruitment agencies in addition to having their own internal team recruiting. I've shared this on the podcast before, but in my own recruitment experience, what I witnessed was that a big organization, so let's say a major bank that has thousands of employees, meaning that they also have hundreds of people on their talent team, they partner with a dozen, I'm not exaggerating, a dozen of recruitment agencies that are also helping the bank and any other large employer to recruit for some of their roles. That's because they have such high demand for talent that it is just really hard for them to keep up. And to you, the candidate, that is actually good news. I know it sounds like, well, wait a second, Anna, that's not good news because now I'm not just competing against people who are applying directly to those organizations. I'm also competing against those recruitment agencies. But it is a good news because that is, again, and I've talked about this before on the podcast, that is, again, proof to you that it is really hard for employers to find talent. So they're going all out to find the right people. But this fact in itself that, wait, they don't just have one agency, they have a dozen agencies recruiting for the exact same role, just completely blew my mind. To be honest, when I think back to it, I'm still kind of shocked because that is a lot of resources spent on and invested in hiring. Hiring fact number 2, job descriptions are not accurate. Now, job descriptions are created typically in 1 of 2 ways. Number 1, it's a copy of a generic job description. So if you've ever looked at a job description online and thought, well, this doesn't help me at all. This is the most generic description of a marketing manager role or a project manager role. That's one way descriptions come up. The second way is a recruiter sits down with a hiring manager and asks them, well, tell me what you're looking for. And that's when a hiring manager just goes all out and they tell you everything they can think of that would be great for the candidate to have. So maybe they're thinking of someone they already had in their role and they think this person had this type of experience that they brought, or they before worked for this type of company, or they had this degree and it was very helpful. So let's add that to the job description. So they're really trying to put as much as they can think of into this job description. So if you read a job description that's very detailed and you feel like it's describing a unicorn, that's because it is describing a unicorn and that person probably doesn't exist. Now, in reality, the recruiter's job in this scenario is to tell the hiring manager, listen, everything you're telling me is making me think that this person probably doesn't exist. So what are the key skills and experiences that you're looking for from this person? So let's be kind of realistic here. But not every recruiter is going to do that. And sometimes the hiring manager's response to that is, hey, let's just try and see what we can find. Now, the first scenario where the job description is very generic happens when, let's say, a hiring manager is busy and they keep kind of pushing back that meeting with a recruiter, that conversation with a recruiter, where the recruiter really wants to understand, okay, who are we actually looking for? And the hiring manager is not really giving them much. So in that scenario, a recruiter basically just has to post this very generic job description. Sometimes those generic job descriptions also come up when an employer is kind of proactively looking for candidates. So it can be a role that they hire for a lot, maybe not in this specific moment, but they just want to have a pool of candidates available in their system that they can always tap into and look through when they are actively hiring. So my kind of point here is don't just rely on the job description. If it's too generic, you have to talk to the employer, ideally even before you apply, to understand what the role is really about and whether it is the right fit for you before you pursue that role. On the other hand, if it is very, very specific, that shouldn't stop you from applying for the job because, again, this person probably doesn't exist. Hiring fact number three, employers love referrals. Now, this is something, again, that makes a lot of people mad. But the reality when I used to hire was we had to move so fast. We had multiple new roles come out every single day. So my team, which included multiple recruiters and multiple account managers, we would all meet once a day in the morning and talk through all the roles that we have open. So as an account manager, I would talk to my team about the specific new roles and specifically what we're looking for from those candidates. And what would happen on that call, recruiters and other account executives would tell me, I actually already have someone in mind who can be perfect for this role. Let me talk to them and see if they're interested. So what does that tell you? Smart employers and good recruiters always have a pool of candidates that they're working with. They always have people in mind that they can call. So that's where we always started. Who do you know already? The next step would always be to call our past hires in similar roles and ask them if there is anyone that they know who would be a good fit for the role. Because chances are, if we're hiring for a similar role, they came from a similar function, similar company, and they know other people who can be interested. Our next step would be to proactively go on LinkedIn and headhunt for the very specific people that we were looking for. And then if none of that worked, we would go ahead and post the job. And again, when I share this, some people get very frustrated and they say, well, this is not fair. We don't really get a chance. But again, the reality is for the recruiter, they want to move as fast as possible. They realistically, in most scenarios, they don't have months to look for that hire. Of course, this is situational. In my case, we had to have candidates within a couple of days, and we had to have really good candidates because realistically, my compensation depended on it. So I didn't have time to wait around for the candidates to come to me. And that's the reality for a lot of employers. Now, at the same time, when it is someone who comes recommended, whether by your colleague or your past hire, that is someone that you trust a lot more because there is that recommendation. And typically, that ends up being a really good hire. which is another reason why employers love referrals so much. Now, I know that some people will immediately think, well, that's not how it works in my company. We always post new jobs. We have to do that. And that is often the case. However, oftentimes when that role is posted, the employer already has a number of people that they know that they're already talking to and meeting with. So when you're looking at the job that was just posted, you are already in a disadvantage compared to people who either were headhunted or proactively met with the employers ahead of time. So the takeaway here is don't get mad about this process, but rather change your strategy around how you job search so that you can match what employers are actually doing. Hiring fact number four, most applications that come in are not relevant. So when you see 400 people have already applied for this job, most people don't pursue the job, right? Because you think, well, what's the point? There are already 400 applications. Having been on the other end of it, you have hundreds of applications and there are maybe a couple that you could actually work with. So the reality is those applications that come in are either too junior, too senior, they have completely irrelevant experience, or it's, let's say, someone who is located on the other end of the world. So that means two things to you. If you are going for the exact same role that you have right now, you shouldn't worry about those hundreds of other applicants because, once again, most of them are not really relevant. Now, if you are going for any sort of change, so you want to change functions or industries, or you want a more senior role, or you're moving cities or countries, to you, that means that, well, it will be actually really hard to get through the ATS system because they're looking for that really, really good match. So I need to actually be a lot more proactive. And instead of even submitting my application altogether, let me be a lot more proactive. Let me meet the hiring managers within my target employer so that they know me, they like me, and that's how I get the interview. Which is why if you've been following me for a while, you know that I talk about building your brand, building your network so much. Because if you are relying on submitting those applications, that's a lot of your time and energy. And it's really hard to get past the ATS system. If this is the topic that you want to dive deeper in, I'll definitely do another podcast episode where we'll talk about the ATS system and how that criteria altogether works and how recruiters are actually, so humans are the ones setting that criteria up. And then what you can do if you are someone who is applying and not really getting through and you want to be landing interviews with ease through networking. So we'll definitely dive into that topic separately. Hiring fact number five, headhunters would proactively market star candidates to the employers that are not hiring right now. This specific strategy really blew my mind when I got into recruitment, and I had no idea that is what was going on behind the scenes. So headhunters working for, let's say, recruitment agencies are trained to identify star candidates. And if you haven't listened to episode number two, where I talked about who that star candidate is, so they're trained to identify those star candidates. The second they do, they know, oh, this person's good. They're going to be snatched by an employer very quickly. Because they're so good, I want to be involved in their hiring. I want to have a connection with them. I want to have a relationship with them and help them get placed now and really for the rest of their career. So a good headhunter asks that star candidate everything they're looking for and thinks, you know what? This candidate would be good for this team that I know or for this hiring manager that I know. I actually used to do that too. I used to hire a lot for, as I've talked about this before, for a big bank. And a lot of candidates that we had to look for were in risk management. So I always wanted risk analysts. And the second I would find a good one, I would call my hiring managers, even if they were not hiring just yet, and tell them about this amazing candidate. Because again, for the hiring manager, they also know that it's really hard to find that great person. And the second the hiring manager hears about this amazing candidate, they start thinking, where can we place them? This is something that I think a lot of candidates don't realize, is that when you are that star candidate, when you present yourself as that star candidate, employers think of a role for you, even if they don't have it. Hiring fact number six, employers are assessing every single little detail from the second they start talking to you. In recruitment, we were trained to pay attention to everything, to the way someone answers your emails, to the way someone answers your phone. So quite literally, the way you say hello. We were trained to look at whether you're looking me in the eyes when you're talking to me, to assess your energy, to assess the questions that you're asking, to assess how self-aware you are, to assess what is it that you're looking for, to assess how you talk about yourself, your skills, your experience, how you talk about what compensation you're looking for. Are you beating around the bush or you're just telling me, hey, I want between X and Y? In fact, we were taught to make that assessment in the first few minutes, sometimes even seconds of a conversation with someone we just met, whether this person has the potential to be that star candidate that you can now be excited to put in front of the hiring manager, or you quite quickly can decide, you know what, this is not a star candidate. And trust me, every single employer, whether it's a recruiter, whether it's a hiring manager, is thinking that same way. Is this the star candidate? And oftentimes this assessment happens subconsciously. So yes, we were trained in recruitment how to do this consciously and like take notes and really, really dive into every single detail. But hiring managers often just do this subconsciously. So you have to be very mindful of what you say, how you say it, at what time, and how you show up during your recruitment experience. So today we covered 6 facts that really surprised me when I got into recruitment. We talked about how recruiters proactively market candidates to the employers, and we talked about how employers are assessing every single detail from the second they are interacting with you. I am curious, which one of these facts was the most surprising to you? Let me know. Reach out to me on Instagram at The Career Diet or on LinkedIn under Anna Bolieva, or you can also search for The Career Diet and you will find me. This was part one. I have another 6 facts prepared for you in the next episode. I'll see you there. If you found this episode helpful, I would be grateful if you could leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It really does help me put out more free resources just like this to support you on your journey. And if you aren't already following me on social media, you can find even more content to help you build your dream career. Follow me on LinkedIn, Instagram, and TikTok at The Career Diet, or head to my website, thecareerdiet.com. I am thrilled to have you here with me, and I can't wait to connect with you in the next episode.